and realize that today's a day of really celebration. Again, thank you everyone for all the work that you do during the year, but we see the result of many people's labors. They were here early in the morning till 9, 10 o'clock at night and working and just tired and still doing it because they're called of God. They have, as Pastor Dan said, they're anointed. They have gifting. And I am so appreciative of that. And just everything that Thanksgiving weekend, I'm so thankful for so many of you that just do so much in the house of the Lord. And I watch your lives, and I am just so thankful for your faithfulness to the Lord and to what he's asked you to do. Well, we're going to conclude our series on becoming a better you. But before we dive into that, let me give you a little funny trivia. Did you know in Alaska, the Fish and Game Department said this? Male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer. But male reindeer lose their antlers at the start of winter in early November. Did you know that? Female reindeer keep their antlers all the way till spring. So if we're going to conclude the Christmas story, this means all of Santa's reindeer, from Rudolph to Blitzen, had to be female. They go on to say this. Only a female could drag around a fat man wearing a red velvet suit all over the world in one night and not get lost. Merry Christmas. Becoming a better you. Turn your Bibles to the famous scripture in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. We have given you in this series, Becoming a Better You. We've talked about our spiritual birth. We talked about our salvation. We talked about the power of that salvation and walking in what that means. Then on the second week, we talked about the power of prayer and how prayer changes things. And that we would recognize, if we understood prayer, that we would pray more. I've had a lot of response from many people online that I know that would call me after they saw the message, and they said it's changed their life regarding their prayer life and the way they see it. Last week, we talked about the priority of people. The why behind why every one of us do things. And we experience in the teaching of the reality of how the enemy can even use that principle and bring guilt in your life because you feel like you're not doing enough. And he brings guilt of why you do things. We don't do things because of guilt. We do things because we have the priority of God regarding people. And if you remember that camera that we have that we won't put on the screen, that if we put it on your head, that it would give us every one of your thoughts that you have in your brain. And we understood, according to Scripture, that everything that Jesus did while he was on this earth was because of people. The reason why he came was for people to save the lost. And we should have the same thing. Today, what I want to do, and I brought this revelation to you quite a while ago, but I have realigned some of it and I've added to it, I deleted some of it because of time. But I want us to understand today, becoming a better you is aligning our whole self, everything about us, with the revelation of kingdom blessings. In other words, everything we do aligns us with the blessings of God. That we don't hinder the blessings of God in our lives because of what we do, basically learning the giving heart or the heart of God in giving. Now, I want us to read out of the book of Jeremiah, but I ask you to turn to Malachi 3, stay there, and let's look at this and see the heart of God. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Here's something I want you to see today as understanding the heart of God regarding that. Is God's passion, major passion, is overlooking you, watching you, waiting for you to respond to the principle of God so that he may bless you, so that he may work these things out. Now, of course, when we go to Malachi, I've heard this message before, you know, regarding tithing, regarding giving, and all the different things. Yes, we will talk about that, but we're going to talk about it in light, again, of the revelation I gave to you regarding aligning yourself up because it pleases God to bless you. The Bible says that it pleases him to prosper you in all areas. So in preaching this message, when I talk about tithe, you're going to go right back to the same thing that many people go to, and they don't want to hear it because they've heard it all the time in church about tithes and offerings. You're going to say, I heard that stuff before and want to shut me out. Because, see, the enemy knows if he can get us in this principle of tithing and giving, really having a giving heart, then he puts a wall between us and the blessings of God. He doesn't put a wall between us and God. God loves us. He doesn't put a wall in between us and God in the reality of who God is and his character, because God never changes. God is a very faithful, loving, giving God. But he has set principle, and he has availed principles not because you better do this or I won't, or you better do this and I'm going to do. No. He puts things in the Word and principles in the Word so that we would, as a people, recognize, you know what God did? God gave us a button to push. And when you push that button, it opens the windows of heaven. The moment you push those buttons, then the windows of heaven open and all the blessings of heaven come on earth in your life. It becomes personal. So when I'm talking about giving, I'm talking about breaking that spiritual battle, that curse that is in our world of the selfishness that the world has, that we as believers will break through in this breakthrough decade. And really have a life of blessing. That everywhere you go, even though the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. That you open the windows of heaven, that the eyes of God are always there with blessing in the midst of even trials and challenges in your life. You will face situation, but be of good cheer that he's overcome the world. So I could quote many scripture. I could bring many different facets of life in the picture, but I just want you to understand this principle is something God set up not because you better. He set it up because he wants to bless you. And I'll say it in a particular way in a moment. But I want you to keep that. I saw in Malachi what I'm about to share with you. And the title of the message again is Don't Rob God. And again, when I say that, we go to the opposite of what God means when he said to write, don't rob God. Because he's not talking about that God needs your money. That God needs you to give money because he needs more gold for the streets. I believe this passage in Malachi has been misunderstood for years, and I misunderstood it for years. Not in the principle of tithing and giving, but the principle of that God's wanting to really do something for me. He wants my life to be a life that everywhere I go, its blessings follow. And it's not about how much I give, it's about having the heart of giving. So, because if we read the passage of Malachi before I showed you this or explained this, we would default to the legalistic point of view of tithe and giving, and we would shut down. Many through the years, 46 years, I have watched people shut me out. And even today, I have even experienced where I have spoken at an event, like a men's event, outside the church. And when I brought up certain subjects, you'd see men bringing up their phone. And because it's a Saturday, they're watching the college football game. Because they just shut me out. So everybody put your phones down. No. Just have your Bible. Don't think I don't know if you yell, you know, because your team scored a touchdown, that you weren't yelling for what I said. All right? So when I say don't rob God, I don't mean that you kept your tithe. And yes, your tithe belongs to him. But you're not robbing God of money. That's not the principle there. That's not what he's saying. I personally don't think that God needs our money. But here's what I believe Malachi is saying, and what I am saying and reminding you, because I have said this to you before, of God's heart. So here it is. Don't rob God of an opportunity to bless you. Some of you say, well, Pastor, you've taught us on this before. Yeah, I have. But hang with me. I'm going to give you some new stuff. But here's the principle. Don't rob God of an opportunity to bless you, for the windows of heaven to be open in every area of your life. This principle works in every area of your life. And I know we're in the Christmas season, and I know the pressures of finances and the being tired and all the different things. Rise up in this principle, because God is looking and watching of whom he may bless. And again, you can have someone preach a message of that, and then they turn around. So now just bless the church, or bless my ministry, or buy me a new car, or do you whatever. Okay, that's between them and the Lord. This is not what I'm talking about. And this is not the heart of God. The heart of God is that he has set it up in his kingdom to bless us and to give to us because he is a giver and he loves us. And it pleases him to prosper his sons and daughters. So I actually believe that this is what Malachi is saying, is to understand God's heart in the area of giving, and you will become a better you. God is proclaiming through Malachi, you are robbing me of the opportunity to bless you. God is saying, I would like to bless you. I would like to open the windows of heaven over you and pour out a blessing on you. I would like to rebuke the devourer for you. I would like to see when he's crawling up to mess with you that I'd slap him silly and tell him he has no place in my son or daughter's life. Get out of here. And that's what God wants to do, and that's what he's trying to do, because there are a lot of believers out there that think the devil has authority, and we are the ones that give him authority if we don't understand God is a God of blessing, and if we begin to walk in a giving spirit, it will literally, in that giving spirit, remove the hurt that you're feeling today. Because when you give out of love. And because of that, he blesses you with an understanding of what's happening around your life, what's happening in people's lives. He will give you the emotion like he did this morning. I was standing right there, and I began to talk to you about this. And some of you have come in here with great pain in your heart of loss and suffering and different things. And I felt that pain in my spirit, in my heart. God will show you. Why? Because you have become a giver. And he has opened the windows of heaven. And he sees everything. And he wants to bless. That's his steps. That's his heart. That's his character, and he never changes. Are you hearing this? So throughout this teaching, don't go back to that. Pastor must need more money. I don't need any of your money. I have God who blesses me. And he's saying, but because you won't do it my way, you are robbing me of an opportunity to bless you. You have put up a wall. You have chained my hands to bless you. It's in every area. Whatever is given to you in any area, you give out of that. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God?" Now think about that statement, what Malachi is saying. I'm thinking now, will a man rob God of the opportunity to bless him? Yet you have robbed me, think about it, of many opportunities to bless you. But you say, to what way have we robbed you? Or robbed you of the opportunities to bless you? He said, in tithes and offerings. In other words, the whole reason God came up with the concept of tithing was not to support his kingdom. He could have sent ravens. Remember this? I said this to you before. He could have sent birds to do that. He could have brought water out of rock. He could have brought manna from heaven and quail fly in the land into your frying pan. God did not invent tithing for his benefit. God created tithing for our benefit and an opportunity to bless us. Malachi 3:9, you are cursed with a curse God is saying through Malachi, I don't want you to be in a curse. I set a principle up, and I don't want you to walk in a curse. For you have robbed me of the opportunity to bless you, even this whole nation. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse, watch this, that there may be food in my house. Well, let me ask you a question. After food in the house, what's that really talking about? One of the great things about Valley and the other great churches in our world is that we are fed the Word of God. Through many pastors in this house, give you revelation of the Word of God, teaching, discipleship classes, Bible studies, women's ministries, men's ministries, marriage seminars that touch you with the Holy Spirit. I believe why churches who have great teaching is because those churches have many tithers. Bring the tithe into the storehouse or local church that there may be food in my house. Or you're saying it this way, so I can bless you. Verse 10. Then he says, and try or test me now in this. Now the word try or test is a word translated the way you prove a metal. All right? Verse 10. Try, test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Just a little touch on there is that's what I ask the Lord to do in my life. Not because money or things. God, overwhelm me with blessings because you know when you lead me, I'll give it away. Because when you lead me, I will give. I do it all the time. Everywhere I go, I do it. I make sure this church does it. I make sure that anyone that I lead understands that principle. That it's not about me. I am talented enough and gifted enough. Watch this. So are you. Because God given you your talent and your gifts to go out anywhere and make a living. Matter of fact, I denied in the late 70s a position making over $100,000 a year. I wasn't selling drugs like Pastor Dan, but... I couldn't let that go. I couldn't let that. It just came in my mind. I couldn't let it go. But because I knew what God had asked me to do. How many of you are thankful for Pastor Dan?
Amen. Amen.
And for Keiko to change his life. But we have to really get to a place. My mind just went to another. That's all right. I'll tell you later. We have to get to a place recognizing the heart of God and the pain that some of you feel and how it can just immediately be transformed when your heart transforms. And understanding this principle and not making it some legalistic thing that that's all they want of the church. Because it's real. It's literally, I'm going to say this, it's chewable. Because I can taste and see that it is good. Because I've seen it in my life for decades of this principle in my heart. And we get to a place in our life that we need this life. We need this blessing. Some people, they'll come to me and they'll say, not really here, because you know the word. But they'll come and they'll say, Pastor, I'm doing all the right things, but it just never seems to work out. And unless they open themselves up to me, I'm asking the Lord, you want me to say something? I know where their struggle is. I know where their struggle is. Why we have great food, again, is because we have many tithers. Verse 10, then he says this, and try me, test me. And I will, verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. For your sakes. Not my sake, for your sake. The three words convinced me of my message today is you robbed me. He is not saying he is hurting and he's running out of gold. He is saying you are robbing me of blessing you and being a blessing for you. When you look up, you see that the heavens are open for you. See, it's proven because he said, I will rebuke the devourer. He doesn't say for kingdom's sake. That's why I repeated that. He said for your sake. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. So whatever business you are in, it won't fail to bear that fruit, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You will, your house, your home, your family, who you are, what you do, the lifestyle you have, you will be a blessing everywhere you go, not because you're better than anyone else, but because you are walking in the principle, and everywhere you go, his blessings follow you. Amen. Now, don't think Mercedes-Benz in your garage, but it could be. Don't think what I'm saying is so that you have a bigger house than your neighbor. Could be. What it means is everywhere you go, even if the enemy comes in and tries to bring chaos in your life, blessings will explode through the situation. And you will walk through it. Maybe you might have a few ashes on you. You might have maybe a little bruise or scratch, but you will walk through it greater than you were when it started. That's the heart of God. That's a cure. Go back so that I can bless you. All right, let's go on. The way we need to see every area of giving is giving God the opportunity to lead us where he wants to lead us. But if he's going to lead us the way he wants to lead you, listen closely, what does he want to do? He wants to bless you. Something that's good. Or you know my famous word, things will become gooder. Amen? All right, so stay with that thinking. Don't go to ESPN. Don't give because you have resources. Give what God leads you to give above your tithe. And if you are walking in his blessings, you are overwhelmed with blessings, and you have to give because you don't have room to hold on to it. See, that's the heart. That's the heart. And I've talked with people. And let me tell you, in a lot of instances, because I'm able to preach the Word of God to the house of God and pastors that work with me, you know the people that struggle the most with this? Are pastors. They pastor a church. They're wonderful people. They have a gift of teaching. And they're running around and they're telling everyone else to tithe and give, and they're not living that lifestyle. Or they're leaders in a church and they're telling everybody else about God and everything, but they're not following in that lifestyle. And again, it's not about how awful you are. It's about, don't you realize that you've just put a wall between you and God of his blessings? And you've opened the door to the enemy to trip you up, to tackle you. So in the Bible, there are three opportunities of giving, but understand, all of this encompasses every area of your life. So here's the first one, tithes. We'll go quickly with this. I believe Scripture tells us when we tithe, we give God the opportunity to bless us. Joshua 6, Israel is going into the promised land. The first city is Jericho. And in Joshua 6, verse 18 and 19, you can see it on the screen. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Notice a curse. Lest you become a curse when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated. Consecrated means to be set aside to the Lord. Are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So he's referring to the tithe because the tithe is always the first 10% to the house of the Lord, the treasury, not the last 10%. It doesn't take faith to give the last 10%. I've said this in the past 18 years to this church. I am told by the Holy Spirit to remind us to talk about this because it's huge in God's heart. Watch this, not the tithe, but the ability for him to bless us. Doesn't take faith to give the last 10%. It takes faith to give the first 10%. It's a principle of the first. So the firstborn represents this. The first fruits represent this in the Bible. Jesus is God's firstborn and God's first fruit. So when you buy something, and then you sell it, you buy a house and you sell it to get a bigger house, but you sell it for $50,000 more than what you bought it for, then you tithe on the $50,000. If you receive inheritance, you tithe on the inheritance. And on, you tithe on many different areas. When you make interest in the bank, you tithe on that on a yearly basis. And so I could sit here and talk to you about finances, but I won't. But he's referring to the tithe and the principle of first. Jericho is the first city in the promised land. And when they took what belonged to God, then they were cursed. And you know the story. The second battle, they lost. Very small city. Because why? The blessings of God did not follow them. God was saying, if you give me the first, you give me an opportunity to bless you. Now, you have the opportunity every time you get paid to open the windows of heaven. This is strong. It's consecrated when it's brought to the house of God, and it's cursed if it stays in your tent. Notice the scripture says that they found the elements that he stole in the tent. So give God the opportunity to bless you. Then the second is offerings. And this is where I really want you to see, because this is where we miss it. Most of us don't miss it in the tithe, but we miss it in the offerings. And my next point, Malachi 3:8. And what way have we robbed you or taken away the opportunity to bless you in tithes and offerings? So the tithe belongs to God. That's in Leviticus 27:30. Because of time, we won't read that. So the tithe is holy and set apart to the Lord. Now, let me just bring this out. I'm going to slow down now. I know God owns it all. I know. But tithe is set apart to him. But it says there in the scripture, tithes and offerings. So how do we reconcile offerings outside of tithe? We return the tithe because it's not ours, it's God's, and we give our offerings, a free will offering. Because the only way you rob God is that you rob him of the blessing to you. The opportunity for him to bless you. It's the only way this passage makes sense is when God puts two words in it, and offering. And so God is a giver. We are created in the image and likeness of God, and we are too. So tithe gives God the opportunity to bless you. When you give above and beyond your tithe, it's another opportunity to God to bless you. And notice, it's another opportunity above and beyond the blessing of the tithe. And so it's above and beyond then because I'm a giver above and beyond of the tithe and not just to the church. Praise God, I give to the church. Every Sunday morning, I put a white envelope in there. I'm old school. You can go online and you can go to church center, you can give online, and that's a great way to give. It is a really great way to give. But just my personality, the way I am, don't tell me I'm old, but the way I am, I want to make the action of writing out a check and or placing money in the envelope. So every week, I put a seed offering in that box right over there. There's a box there. There's a box there. Box, I believe, at the steps for upstairs. And we do that. And then you can give online. And there's a slot in the back by the office, glass door. You can slide it in there. There's a safe that it goes into. And that's what we do when we grab things that we need to put in a safe spot. We'll put it in there. And so what you have to recognize is there's a above and beyond. How many of you want to walk in the blessings of the Lord? Return the tithe. How many of you want to go in a lifestyle of above and beyond? Giving. Amen. And because of my heart towards the staff here, in the end part of December, I'm going to ask you to give a love offering to the staff. I don't get a cent of it. To the staff. Because of all that they do. They work night and day. Vacations. I see Dan here. I see Pastor Ryan here. You know, they're doing stuff. And not because they have to, but because of their heart. And because we're learning Sabbath, we've learned how to stay away at times, just like you, with work. And it's the same with us. But we love what we do so much, we have to be encouraged by one another to stay away. But see, that's giving. That's outside of returning a tithe. It's giving of our talent and our gifts and our money. So it's the only way this passage makes sense when God puts two words in it, and offering. So I want you to know this after I just said what I said. I have no reason to preach to you about giving because this church is walking in a blessing. This church is a healed church, walking in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This church is moving into a blessing, a breakthrough, because we have made the right decisions. We have done. This church is our we're tithers, the church, to our organization. You say, well, if we give to the church, we can expand. Well, yeah, but we don't do it to expand. I don't teach the word to expand. I teach the word of God to help you. And by doing that, then the expansion comes. Why? Because you expand. Because you fall in love with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you preach the gospel to your neighbors and to your friends, and you bring them to church. I'm the shepherd, you are the sheep. Sheep beget sheep. And that happens because you have a giving spirit, that you are more concerned. Remember last week? About people, about their lives, where they're at. So I have one motive in my heart regarding preaching and giving all these years. My motive is to help you to become a better you. My motive is to become a preacher so you become a better you. Here's a third point. We'll close with this point. Sacrificial offerings. In Scripture, there are many sacrificial offerings. David gave a sacrificial offering to build the temple. Remember, Solomon built the temple? Most people say David gave an amount that if he gave it today would be $21 billion. When Solomon became king, it was a tradition to sacrifice one bull. Solomon sacrificed 1,000 bulls. And that's no bull. I didn't want to lose you yet. The woman who anointed Jesus' feet right before his crucifixion, she used perfume that was worth 1 year's of wages on his feet. That's why the administrator of the group was upset. We could have sold that and we could have ate for 3 months on it. That's a sacrificial offering. Here's one. Abraham was willing to offer his son as a sacrifice. Of course, God stopped Abraham because God doesn't require or ask for that type of sacrifice like some other religions. God tested Abraham's heart, and it gave God an opportunity to bless Abraham. Here is the greatest sacrificial offering. When God the Father offered up his son, Jesus Christ. In Mark 12, if you want to click to that or turn to it, Mark 12, verse 41 through 44, I want you to see this in light of everything that we just talked about. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how, the people put money into the treasury. Notice it didn't say how much. What he was looking at was how. And many who were rich put in much. Standing with your commitment, give according to your ability. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. Again, we've shared this. A mite is a Jewish penny. 2 mites make a quadrants, which is a Roman penny. Verse 43. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. That's a sacrificial offering. In the poor widow story, this is my thought, or this is what I see. With the understanding, when we tithe and give offering, we give God an opportunity to bless us. Please hear me. I have made a giving lifestyle in my life. I believe how God has blessed me is, watch this, not because of what I have. I've worked hard for what I have. He's blessed me with children and grandchildren that respect me and serve God with all their heart. That's what I believe the fullness of being a tither, one that gives offerings, and one that gives sacrificially, because my heart is a giver. It's not about me. It's about other people. I walk in the power of prayer, and I recognize and I'm thankful every day for my salvation. And because of that, the windows of heaven have opened up. And the one thing that matters to me the most on this earth, my children and grandchildren, my family, are serving God. So again, don't go to that ludicrous thing about the tithe because some of your children or grandchildren are not serving God. What did I do wrong? Go to, I serve a giving God. In any area of my life, change me. I choose to change and become what you've asked me to become. And because I do that, I know that the things that are on my heart that matter the most, you will bless. And it will be overwhelmingly blessing. Because why? I have followed the Lord in this. God wants to bless you in more ways than just money. But you're going to have to give God an opportunity to bless you. And this is the buttons you choose to push. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And probably next time I teach on this subject, we'll spend a lot of time on the everlasting life and what that means. Step out today. If you haven't tithed, begin to tithe. And become that giver so you will experience the kingdom blessings. And you'll see the power of your prayer regarding your family explode. Malachi 3:10, again, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food, word, in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Let's all stand. You watch my heart just go all over the place today. Because what the Holy Spirit's doing is showing you visibly what the Holy Spirit does in your life. You'll have laughter. You'll have tears. You'll have concern. You'll lay on your face weeping for those in your family. But here's the truth. You do it God's way, the way I taught you today. The windows of heaven are there. And God is like this. He doesn't need it. I do. And he watches. Everywhere you go. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. You know, years ago, because of just playing high-level sports and all that, you know, I can do this, I can do that. I can jump over that wall, I can, all that. And I learned, it has nothing to do about me, but everything about the ability of God to bless. In Jesus' name, overwhelm this house with this revelation that we run in every area of our life to become that giver, to return, to restore, to give sacrificially, to not do something so that we could do something. Lord, I give you praise. Overwhelm the studies and the people meeting for breakfast this morning, watching us. Overwhelm them. Let it flow in their neighborhoods, in all the states, in all the countries, in Jesus' name, in this house. Let it rise. Let the blessings of the Lord rise in every area. I proclaim a blessing, God's blessing, over our marriages, over our businesses, our jobs, our just every area we move into. Give wisdom to dads. Give wisdom to moms. Give insight to our young people. Father, we experience our young people in this house that are amazing. Blessings upon them. Let them start early, Lord, of understanding this revelation so that their life, by the end of their life, will be huge because they have lived out what I've experienced in my life. Blessings upon this house again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great, great day. And remember, no church service this evening because of the holiday. God bless you.